Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, July 6th, 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So what have been the key drivers of FX market performance over the past week, Lee?
I think the FX market, in our view, continues to be driven mainly by the performance of risk assets, so the kind of risk on, risk off trading. And that's still kind of very evident if you look at the kind of correlations between the performance of risk assets such as the S&P 500 and most of the major currency pairs. Those correlations still remain very robust. And we don't really see that changing significantly in the near term. So over the past week, we have seen an improvement in risk sentiment, which has weighed on the dollar again. We think that's kind of mainly been driven by a run of positive economic data surprises globally. If you look at the economic surprise indices available on Bloomberg, those are showing that we're now seeing the kind of highest level of positive economic surprises for major economies since early in 2018, which is obviously an encouraging sign. And to us, kind of highlights that analysts, at least in the short term, had become sort of overly pessimistic over the outlook for the global economy following the collapse in growth earlier this year from the COVID shock. And that had obviously clouded their outlook for the initial stage of recovery going forward. And we really did kind of see evidence of that emerging over the past week. So we saw the latest business surveys from China continued to improve and showed that the Chinese economy is kind of leading the recovery from the COVID shock, and that's set to continue in the months ahead. Similarly, also the latest data from Europe and the US also points towards a more stronger form of rebound, at least in the initial stages. We saw in Germany, retail sales were particularly strong in May, up 13.9%. And then in the US as well, obviously the labor market in the US has been hit much harder than in Europe so far, but there are have been encouraging signs in recent months that it is starting to bounce back. We saw another positive jobs figure in the latest month, and over the last couple of months, the US economy has added 7.5 million in jobs. So that's obviously a positive sign. Obviously, there's still obviously a substantial number of job losses sustained during the COVID crisis. We saw back in March and April that the US economy lost around 22 million jobs. And so far, only about 7.5 million of those jobs have come back. So there's still obviously a long way to go, but at least the kind of initial bounce back has been stronger than expected. So we kind of conclude that the kind of overall data flow that we've seen is signaling that the initial phase of recovery is proving more V-like than I think many people had feared. And I think the key question going forward is whether this upward momentum can be sustained. And that is still obviously the key question where we still have more uncertainty given the ongoing downside risks which are posed by the second waves of COVID-19 that we're seeing right now globally. And that's one reason why we're still somewhat cautious going forward. Obviously, in the US, we've seen a clear pickup in the spread of COVID-19, and already that is starting to have an impact on in terms of economic activity. Obviously, policymakers there over in the southern states put in place measures to slow down the process of reopening their economies and putting in place some of the restrictions again, which we expect to dampen activity going forward. So the initial kind of very strong, robust phase of recovery may start to slow going forward. And even over the weekend here in Europe, there were also some evidence of a pickup in COVID cases where we saw Spain put in place lockdowns in two regions. So even in Europe, there is the potential there that the strong recovery could also start to lose momentum going forward. But the key question, obviously, will be whether these kind of localized breakouts in Spain, will those continue to spread, or will the containment measures prove effective in terms of suppressing the spread of the virus going forward? So, sort of taking that all into consideration, what we've seen is that we've seen obviously risk assets continue to hold up well, certainly better than we had originally expected. So, we've basically kind of reduced the likelihood, we think, of a kind of correction lower for risk assets in the near term. And we think that makes the current environment likely to remain less favorable for the dollar in the coming weeks.
And how has your outlook for the euro changed in light of recent developments, Lee?
Well, the euro continues to trade well in our view. We've seen euro dollar consolidating at stronger levels over the past month. Obviously, at the start of last month, euro dollar kind of broke to the upside out of the kind of 108 to 112 trading range. And really, over the last month, that has sort of consolidated at those high levels. Even over the last couple of weeks, where we've seen euro dollar drop back towards the 112 level, so far that support has held, which to us is an encouraging sign that the euro is kind of holding its ground here at higher levels. Similarly, if you also look at the FX option market as well, we can also see that participants in the options market are also displaying less concern over downside risks for the euro going forward. So if you look at the euro dollar risk reversals, those have turned positive, particularly for shorter maturities, covering up to 6 months. And to us, that does signal kind of increasing demand there for euro calls relative to euro puts. So again, another encouraging sign that the euro is now trading on a stronger footing going forward. And we think those kind of more positive expectations for the euro have been supported as well at the start of this week by the report in today's FT, stating that the Bundesbank is set to keep buying government bonds from next month, as it looks to kind of diffuse the ruling from the German Constitutional Court, which had threatened to undermine the ECB's asset purchase programs. According to that FT report, two officials briefed on the matter have told the FT that the Bundesbank will later this month formally decide to take its lead from the German finance minister and the parliament in Berlin, which both declared last week that the ECB has satisfied the German Constitutional Court's requirement to carry out the proportionality assessment. So that's obviously looks like another hurdle has been cleared there. And some of the comments as well we've seen in the German press from judges on the German Constitutional Court, they've also signaled that they're unlikely to sit again to determine whether those conditions have been satisfied, and they would then kind of instead leave that decision to be made by the Bundesbank. So if the Bundesbank is moving towards accepting that the proportionality conditions have been met, then that looks like it gives the all clear for the ECB and the Bundesbank to continue to participate in the ECB's asset purchase programs going forward, which again is to us strongly suggest that the downside risks which were posed to the eurozone and the euro from that threat from the German Constitutional Court ruling, looks like those are likely to be resolved in a timely manner. And to us, that I think helps as well to ease downside risks for the euro and eurozone assets going forward. It certainly will, I think, make market participants more confident that the ECB will be able to continue to support the recovery in Europe going forward, and continue to support as well the debt markets in Europe, which is obviously very, very important and reduces the kind of tail risk of another kind of eurozone debt crisis in Europe going forward. Having said that, though, all the kind of risks for the euro are not completely out of the way now. There's still obviously some uncertainty over the EU recovery fund, and that's going to be in focus in the coming weeks. We have the EU leader summit taking place on the 17th and 18th of July in Brussels. And ahead of that summit, we've heard obviously an impassioned plea from German Chancellor Merkel Last week, she called on EU leaders to seize the moment and agree upon an EU recovery fund this summer. She believes that's crucial to show solidarity between members and to support the recovery going forward for the Eurozone economy from the COVID shock. So that's still a crucial element which needs to be worked out by EU leaders. And ahead of that summit, we are expecting the European Council President, Charles Michel, to unveil a compromise proposal this week on the recovery fund. That's obviously in an effort to try and bridge the divisions which are still in place between members going forward. And on that side of things, the expectation is there that there could be some form of compromise in terms of the division of the fund, how that will be split between grants and loans. And I think that's obviously going to be crucial. We're hoping, I think the market as well is optimistic that we are likely to see an agreement in the coming months on the EU recovery fund. But there is obviously the risk as well that there could be some disappointment if it takes longer to reach an agreement, or if those proposals are watered down too much, then that is an obvious kind of downside risk to our outlook for the euro going forward. And we've obviously had a kind of bullish euro outlook over the last couple of months, and we have in our latest monthly report increased our bullishness on the euro by raising our forecast for euro dollar over the next 6 to 12 months. So we now see euro dollar rising towards the 120 level. And like I said, I think a kind of crucial assumption is that we do see an agreement on an EU recovery fund, and that we don't expect those proposals to be watered down significantly.
Right, thanks very much for that insight, Lee. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.